رسول الله رسول الله رسول الله رسول الله.
Criticizing the companions does not mean infidelity.
شما شیعیان، بعضی از صحابه خاص رسول خدا و برخی از همسران پیامبر را لعن و نفرین می کنید. آیا لعن افراد بزرگی که سالها در کنار رسول خدا بودند و با کفار جهاد کرده و باعث پیشرفت اسلام شدند کفر و ناسپاسی نیست؟
اولا اینکه فرمودید طعن و لعن صحابه و بعضی از همسران رسول خدا موجب کفر است، حرفی بی پایه و بی اساس است و هیچ دلیلی جز توهم و تعصب جاهلانه نمیتوان برای آن بنا کرد.
سید سلطان الوایدین الشیرازی: The Shias find fault with the chief companions and some of the pure wives of the Prophet. This is obviously an act of unbelief. Since the companions fought for years with the Prophet against the infidels, it is obvious that their services were free from all moral imperfection. They certainly deserve paradise, particularly those who gain divine blessings. According to the Holy Quran, certainly Allah was well pleased with the believers when they swore allegiance to you under the tree, chapter 48, verse 18. There is no doubt that the Holy Prophet respected them. One who denies their excellence is certainly misled. The Quran says, nor does he speak out of desire. It is naught but revelation that is revealed, chapter 53, verses 3 and 4. Such a person denies the Holy Prophet and the Holy Quran, and one who denies them is undoubtedly an infidel.
First, you said that Shia criticism of the companions, Sahaba, and some of the wives of the Prophet leads to infidelity. I don't understand the basis of this statement. If criticism is supported by evidence, it may be allowed. And even if one makes a false charge, this doesn't make him an infidel. He would be called a sinner, like one who drinks wine or commits fornication. And certainly, every sin against divine law is pardonable. Ibn Hazm Zahiri Andalusi says in his book, Al-Fasl fil Milal wa Nihal, Part 3, page 227, if one abuses the companions of the Prophet ignorantly, he is not to blame. If he does it with knowledge, he is a sinner like other sinners who commit fornication, theft, etc. Of course, if he curses them intentionally, since they are the companions of the Prophet, he is an infidel because such behavior amounts to enmity against Allah and His Prophet. Otherwise, simply abusing the companions does not amount to infidelity. Accordingly, Caliph Umar asked the Prophet to permit him to behead Hatib, the hypocrite, although he was one of the great companions, a muhajir, and one who took part in the Battle of Badr. For his abusing and attributing hypocrisy to him, Umar was not called an infidel. So how is it possible that the Shias should be called infidels for abusing some of the companions, supposing for the moment that what you say is correct? Moreover, the great ulama of your sect have rejected your point. Among them is Qazi Abdurrahman Shafi'i, who in his Muwafiq has rejected the reasoning of your fanatic ulama about the infidelity of the Shias, and Muhammad Ghazali, who writes that cursing and abusing the companions is never an infidelity. Even cursing the two sheikhs does not constitute infidelity. Moreover, according to the verdicts of your own great jurists and caliphs, those who curse the caliphs are not infidels. Imam Ahmad Hanbal in his Musnad, Volume 3, Ibn Sa'd Katib in his Kitab al-Tabaqat, Qazi Ayaz in his Shifa, Part 4 of Chapter 1, report that the governor of Caliph Umar, Ibn Abdulaziz, wrote from Kufa that a man had reviled and abused Umar ibn Khattab, the second caliph. The governor sought permission to execute the man. Umar ibn Khattab replied that it was not permissible to take the life of a Muslim for abusing or cursing any Muslim excepting one who abuses the Prophet.
Muhammad, ya Muhammad, ya Muhammad, Muhammad, ya Muhammad.
Ya Muhammad. Second, you said that the Prophet respected and honored his companions. This is correct. In addition, all Muslims and men of learning agreed that the Holy Prophet knew the good and bad actions of the people. He appreciated their good deeds. Accordingly, he esteemed Nushirwan's justice and Hatim Tai's munificence. If you respected someone, it was for his good deeds. But appreciation shown to one for doing a good deed does not prove that his end will be fortunate. Perhaps he will commit evil deeds in the future. If he does, upbraiding him beforehand is unjustified, even though it may be known that he will commit the sin in the future. Ali knew of the sin and damned end of Abdurrahman ibn Muljim Muradi and repeatedly told him that he was his assassin. At one point, he explicitly said, "I want him to live, but he is bent upon killing me, and this treacherous friend belongs to the clan of the Murad." This statement has been recorded by Ibn Hajar Makki towards the end of part 1 of Sawa'iq, page 72. Yet, Ali did not intend to punish him. Hence, the hadith indicates that the merit of some particular action or statement is not necessarily influential for all time to come. Third, you said that since the Sahaba were at the Bay'at al-Ridwan and pledged their fealty to the Prophet, they were not subject to condemnation but deserved praise because they are the reference of the holy verse you cited, chapter 48, verse 18. Research scholars and ulama have commented extensively on this topic, saying that the divine pleasure of this verse refers only to the particular action, bay'at, allegiance, and that it does not extend indefinitely.
(laughs)